Anti-Discrimination Commission of Queensland, and appearing at the hearing this morning is Commissioner Susan Booth. So welcome, Susan. Please take a chair at the table. The Commission has made a submission to the inquiry based on the Commission's views, but also the consultative mechanism which the Commission has set up in this area. And I know from personal experience of the Commission's consultative mechanisms, because I've spoke to the one on disability several times over the last few years in my role as Deputy Disability Discrimination Commissioner, and I'm sure the gay and lesbian one is just as effective. So welcome, and please speak to your submission, and then I'd like to raise a few issues with you if I may.
Thanks, Graham. I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet. I would also like to thank the Commission for the opportunity to speak to the inquiry, and I'd also like to, on behalf of the Anti-Discrimination Commission and those members of community organisations that are listed on page 8 of our submission, to again express strong support for this inquiry, and to note the inquiry does provide a genuine opportunity for significant progress in areas relating to work-related entitlements and financial rights for same-sex couples. Having said that, that's about all I want to say about our written submission. I do not want to revisit the matters raised in the submission, but I did want to respond in a limited way to the issues mentioned in the recently released discussion paper.
Oh, good.
And as I said, it won't take a particularly long amount of time, and I want to spend a little bit of time on the definition of de facto federal law. I then want to very, very briefly touch on workplace laws, problems in discrimination laws, and even more briefly on the marriage provision. So if Graham, you're happy for me to keep going?
That would be great. Thank you.
I'd like to start with the definition of the de facto federal law. The proposed definition in 6.2 of the discussion paper is, save one matter, and I'll come back to that, is essentially the same as the Queensland definition of de facto. Now, the views I'm putting forward today, unlike the views in our submission, are the views of the Anti-Discrimination Commission. I have not consulted with the community about those views, so I want to make that very clear, that they're the Commission's views, and it may well be that the community has other views.
Sure.
I want to divide my comments into two parts. Firstly, to deal with the proposed sections 2A to I, and then the proposed section 2J, and I'll explain. The sections 2A to I, as I said, are in exactly the same circumstances that are listed in the de facto definition in section 32, capital D, capital A, of the meaning of de facto partner in the Queensland Acts Interpretation Act, and I've brought one along if that's of use for you to consider. I say the wording is very slightly different, but having read through both provisions, the proposed provision and the de facto provision in Queensland, is they have exactly the same effect. And as I said, the words are in themselves almost identical. The Anti-Discrimination Commission in Queensland supports their inclusion in the definition of de facto for two reasons. They are non-discriminatory. And the second more practical reason is I'm aware of at least one Brisbane solicitor who works extensively with this legislation and finds it in its present form to be a very effective and practical way to determine the status of a relationship. So as I said, from both a point of view of discrimination and from a practical point of view, sections A to I, I think I can say with a reasonable amount of being reasonably assured that would be a practical way to go. Mm. I want to differentiate that between that and the proposed section 2J. Queensland does not have the proposed J, and just for the rest of you who are aware, what's proposed in the definition is to have a statutory declaration signed by either or both of the couples stating they are or were in a de facto relationship. Now, I suppose I'm in two minds about this provision, and I'll come to the conclusion in the end, but I guess I wanted to take you through my reasons for that. It may be beneficial to have proof of a party's relationship. In fact, I'm aware that same practitioner I'm talking about currently prepares a deed for her clients in similar terms in effect. But the important point to note is that such a deed can be entered into without the necessity for legislation. Just going to any solicitor anywhere in the world, you can ask for such a deed to be drawn up. Just for your information, she actually has a little rainbow at the back of her deed, which is very cute. But it still has legal effect, despite the fact of it's nice. It has absolute legal effect of demonstrating at the very least that these parties have entered into this arrangement. But then there are my concerns that if that was in legislation, as opposed to being in a deed, which you can do, what happens when you then put that into the legislative framework? What is the effect of that? I have a concern, and I'll guess the reason I want to give you an example of how in a similar provision what has happened, and I'm talking about section 28 of the Anti-Discrimination Act, the work with children provision that some of you may be familiar with, despite a clear intent in the legislation that the prohibition on work with children on the basis of lawful sexual activity would only occur in certain circumstances, this provision, I can assure you, has been generally and completely misunderstood to the point where most gay teachers thought that private schools could simply sack them because of the existence of the provision. What it means is that the provision takes out just one bit and says that's the law. It never looked at the fact that there were objective provisions around that work with children provision. But, as I said, highly intelligent, highly educated people thought private schools could just systematically discriminate without looking at the other effect, looking at the behaviour that may or may not influence the legality of the work with children provision. I'm similarly concerned that if this provision was included, de facto couples who had not signed a statutory declaration, and despite all of those great words about the behaviour that precede the section, would, in the mind of the public, not be a legally defined de facto relationship unless such a deed was signed. And, for example, in the result of a breakup of parties would not seek legal advice because they would believe they never were de factos in the first place and had the rights attaching to that legal status. Just to conclude, I think particularly in Queensland, where many people live away from the larger cities and may be less au fait with the law, it's less likely to get a clear and correct legal advice. And again, they'd only hear half the story. And what I like about circumstances A to I is that they reflect the simple realities of a relationship, whereas factor J requires a conscious effort. And I suppose I can conclude by saying the Commission can see problems with the provision. Hmm. I don't want to put it any higher than that, but I wanted to, I guess, just alert the Commission to some problems. And as I said, whatever way the Commission goes, I really am happy, but I would like those considerations to be factored into any final recommendation that is made. Did you want me just to keep going, Graeme?
I'm happy for you to keep going,
yep. Look, the rest is very brief. Again, in response to the discussion paper, the only comment I want to make is here in Queensland, as opposed to the federal situation, the impact is in the change of the definition of de facto. all workplace laws remove the discrimination now in Queensland, and of course the Commission believes that a similar situation should apply in federal law. Problems with discrimination laws, the issue raised in section 13 of the discussion paper. Arguably, federal discrimination laws don't protect same-sex couples on the grounds of marital status or family responsibility. In contrast, Queensland same-sex couples are protected from discrimination on the basis of relationship status and the basis of family responsibilities. Relationship status is defined in the Anti-Discrimination Act, whether you're single, married to another person but living separately apart from that person, divorced, widowed, or a de facto partner. And that's the important word. It then goes on to talk about family responsibilities in terms of a person's spouse. Spouse is then defined in Section 36 of the Acts Interpretation Act to include a de facto partner, which again takes you back to a non-discriminatory definition of de facto. So from this scheme, same-sex couples are protected on the basis of relationship status as de facto partners under 32 capital D capital A. And can I say in relation to marriage, and finally issue to mention, is Queensland, of course, is bound by the definition of the Marriage Act. Limited recognition in relation to those financial areas, and certainly an area I think that needs to be addressed. That's all I wanted to say in relation to my response, other than to say that obviously our written submission is where we've put the bulk of our views, and that concludes my submissions unless you've got some questions.
I do have some questions, but thank you for those submissions. And also for your comments on the recently released discussion paper. It only came out last week, so I'm not surprised you haven't had a chance to consult with your community representative group, and I think that point you make is a helpful one, and we'll certainly factor that into our thinking when we prepare our recommendations. You mentioned in your submission that many Commonwealth departments and agencies don't recognise same-sex couples for the purposes of leave in their workplace agreements. Do you know of any Commonwealth departments that explicitly recognise same-sex couples for the purposes of leave? It's just that you mentioned that many don't, and we just wondered whether
there are any that
yes.
do.
Yes.
I'm trying to think who and if anyone who was here can think. We had a member, and it might have been at an advisory group meeting. I think there was a sense that there was perhaps some informal recognition of relationships within particular areas, but no, I think that may be that was where it came from. That I think in some organisations that there is that informal recognition.
okay, look, that's fine. We just thought if there were some examples, we'd be interested to know about them. Do you know whether Queensland government awards currently include equal access to parental and carers leave for same-sex couples?
Yes, they do.
Okay, great.
In fact, I can honestly say that before the de facto law was changed in Queensland, we actually had more modern industrial relations law than we had anti-discrimination law.
Right. Okay.
So, no, it's now applies equally. It's a very effective way of doing it.
Sure. I'm looking now at presumptive parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that the members of your community group believe that presumptive parenting is crucial for the rights of children of same-sex families. What presumptions of parentage exist under Queensland law?
My understanding is none. Provisions in other, I think in both the Northern Territory and Tasmania, and I mean you would know better than me, they do have some presumptive parenting
yes.
rights, but my understanding is there is none in Queensland at the moment.
Yeah, then there are some rights in
Australia?
It might be Western Australia, I mean. But that's
certainly mine. Tasmania, I think.
Yes,
Western Australia.
Yeah.
And NT?
I'm not sure. sure.
Not sure. Well.
We haven't been to Darwin. haven't got our head around then too little, but yeah, but no, there are other places. Okay. Let me come then to superannuation. Do you know the name of the legislation or scheme that governs the superannuation rights of Queensland Government employees?
I don't, but I can certainly find it out for you.
Okay, because we're interested in what the superannuation rights of same-sex employees of the Queensland Government regarding death benefits and reversionary pensions, which seems to be the major issue in Commonwealth for Commonwealth public service employees, and whether the interdependency categories apply to those funds, because that's often a way to reduce the impact of those sorts of discriminatory provisions.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't. I could guess at it, but I'd
sure.
rather provide you with
if you could.
That would be
yes. fantastic. Mm. Thank you. On migration laws, your submission notes that the interdependency visas still discriminate against same-sex couples because it tags those couples as gay couples.
Yes.
Do you know of examples of discrimination that's occurred because of this tagging or labelling?
There were no indications at that community consultation of it. It is simply the fact that you are tagged, and that in itself I think can be a discriminatory factor that doesn't happen to other couples but no, there was no indication of okay. of what flowed from that,
okay.
but it was just a very obscure but very real issue, I think.
Sure. Mm. Oh yeah, no, I mean don't in any way dismiss tagging.
No, I know.
I just wondered if there was something that flew from.
No, there was no indication.
Flowed from it. You mentioned in the submission that an application for such a visa is a two-stage process. Do you know if that's different to application process for the family visas available to heterosexual couples?
No, I don't.
Mm.
Mm.
Okay. Okay, I want to talk about discretionary trusts. let me ask this question anyway.
Yes.
You said that it's an area to be explored further.
Yes.
We don't understand a great deal about how they work in Queensland and the impact for same-sex couples, so we're interested to try and draw that out. If you're not in a position to do that, maybe you could point us towards someone who may be in a
yes, it has been the subject of a couple of emails before today to see if we could have the capacity to do so. At this stage, we just haven't had the expertise or the
sure.
resources to do it.
Yep.
It's a highly complex, specialised area of law.
Mm.
It's not one that I have any issues around, expertise around.
Mm.
But there was a sense that it does really require a serious look,
okay.
and we simply identified it in that report
sure.
without doing anything more for that very reason. So, as I said, I don't think I had a feeling you might mention it, but
well,
I wasn't able to provide any
sure.
more information at this stage.
Yeah.
But it may be that we can identify.
Mm.
Someone who's expert in this area and can have a look at the Queensland context around discretionary trusts.
We got the same sense last night. There was a couple of comments at the forum last night about trusts and discretionary trusts, but I think I certainly got the feeling that it was an issue that needed further exploration.
Mm.
So,
mm.
thank you. towards the end of your submission, you list some unresolved issues. That they include things like presumptive parenting rights, adoption rights, reproductive fertility rights, formal models for relationship recognition, marriage equity, and the legal age of consent, and relationship registration schemes, birth certificates, and recognition of the biological and non-biological parents. I just wondered whether you or members of the committee was in a position to elaborate on some of the problems that arise in those sorts of areas, and clarify which of them might be addressed by Queensland law, because that gives us some guidance towards any proposed changes for federal law.
These are all issues that were mentioned by the committee, by the community at the consultation process. I would urge the community members to actually address those, Graeme.
Okay.
I think that both in terms of what should be done should be led by the community.
Sure.
Having said that, I am certainly aware that I think Carmen or someone might like to add to this, but I think they're pretty much in the sort of priority list that the community was keen on, starting with presumption of parenting.
Sure.
Was considered to be the most important issue for the community at the moment. I think adoption rights are pretty much up there as the second issue, and the two big issues that the community expressed on that night. And as I said, they're all important. But I think, given particularly in relation to presumptive parenting rights, it's the reality in Queensland, as it is in the rest of Australia, that couples are having children, and those presumptive parenting rights are necessary absolutely now. It's not something that should happen in the future.
Sure.
It's problematic as we speak, and it can be so easily fixed. And I'd go so far as to say, you know, every week there's discrimination and homophobia happening in relation to children being born in hospitals.
Yep.
And having said that, how it can be fixed is not something that I have done much work on.
Sure.
It might be something ARC has done, which particular legal remedy would be...
Just the Status of Children Act in Queensland that we need looking at, but... it is a complex area that would need consideration, detailed consideration, that we're hoping the Queensland Government will enter
into. Consult.
Well, there may be some two-way process, because there may well be some information in submissions that our inquiry has received, which will, in terms of how it's addressed in other states, which might be helpful to that process. Because I know it's not just an issue here. We've had discussion of it in other jurisdictions, so it may be that... that there's that flow and benefit as well. Can I lastly come to complaints to the Commission?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could outline some of the types of complaints that you've received in relation to same-sex couples, which might be relevant to the inquiry, sort of what the common types are, and maybe the comments on the resolution of those complaints.
Firstly, I can say there are very few complaints related to the status of same-sex couples. We do get the odd complaint around finance, where both couples' wages are not taken into consideration. They have never proceeded beyond the Commission. Those matters are quickly resolved at the complaint stage, whereby the bank or the lending institution is made aware that it is potentially discrimination, and it has always been resolved. That probably is the only couple type discrimination that's been experienced. The rest are almost exclusively for gay and lesbian people are related to work.
Well, Susan, thank you very much both for the Commission submission and the input of the community consultative group that you have, and for coming and giving us your time this morning. It's been very much appreciated, and it's been very helpful to the inquiry, so thank you.